This is the KPTZ Compass, your local news magazine for the Northeast Olympic Peninsula. This week on the Compass, we take you inside a Port Ludlow event to honor Vietnam veterans, and we hear their personal and sometimes painful stories. And now, we go inside the Compass. In a time that sometimes seems filled with angry and uncivil discourse, local U.S. Congressman Derek Kilmer decided to reach out and honor a group of military veterans who know a lot about being demonized. Our Vietnam-era vets. About 24 of them gathered at the fire and rescue facility in Port Ludlow just before Veterans Day, and Kilmer gave each a congressional commemorative pin. Kilmer believes these soldiers were never properly thanked for what they endured. One of them was Clayton Swanson, who lives in Quilcene. He struggled when we asked him about his experience during that war.
Outside of Da Nang and Anwa, combat vet, ground troop, and it's hard to talk about.
You know, I have friends who went, and it's the same thing. They tell me that they just don't want to talk about it. One friend said, you know what I remember about Nam is the smells, really odd smells that were very pungent.
Well, that's a good point. The smells were a lot of Agent Orange, spraying of Agent Orange. We were in a very hard-hit area for Agent Orange. The other big smells were death. Death was a big smell. That was the hard part. You'd go through a village and sweep through a village, and you could smell death everywhere.
Clayton Swanson's name was announced along with his military branch, the U.S. Marine Corps, and Congressman Kilmer stuck a commemorative pin into Swanson's shirt. That ceremony was repeated for every veteran in the room, and you will hear some of those announcements throughout this report. For example,
Dennis Ritz, United States Coast Guard, U.S. Navy. Colonel John McCreary Fabian, United States Air Force, and one of our nation's astronauts.
Kilmer has presented hundreds of pins throughout the 6th District, which includes our Northeast Olympic Peninsula. We spoke with the congressman after the ceremony.
Why is this event to commemorate military service members important to you?
I was just speaking with a gentleman here who said, you know, I came home and I was spat upon and things like that. I think we saw a lot of men and women who served our nation in Vietnam who didn't get the gratitude that they earned. And the Congress directed the Department of Defense to set up this system, this pin, to provide that recognition and to express that gratitude. And so, as someone who represents more military veterans than almost any member of Congress, I'm conscious of the fact that our community is a lot stronger because men and women who served have chosen to make this community their home, and they've contributed their skills and their patriotism, and they've made our community and our region stronger. And I think it's important to say thanks.
Mm-hmm. You were born after the war in Vietnam ended. What are your perceptions of America's role in that conflict?
Yeah, you're right. I was born in 1974, so generally a young pup. I think what's unique about these recognition events is that, I've talked to veterans who have varying opinions on the Vietnam War. I think what's important about events like this is just being able for a community and a nation to say thank you for serving. I expressed in the meeting we had today, one of the things I have a lot of gratitude for as well is that a lot of these men and women continue to serve. Sometimes it's showing up on behalf of veterans in community events and parades. I've seen a lot of veterans show up at funerals. We've seen veterans be tremendous advocates on behalf of whether it be housing for veterans or educational services for veterans or healthcare services for veterans. And I just have tremendous gratitude for that.
I'm sure you're aware of the anti-war protests during the Vietnam War, as well as the rude treatment that many soldiers endured when they came home. As a politician and an American citizen, how do you view the dichotomy between honoring the service of these soldiers who risked their lives vis-a-vis the anti-war sentiments that many still hold today?
I think, thankfully, our nation has learned a lot that we have the capacity to disagree with policies that drive us into conflict. And I think our nation and our world has seen far too much violence. I'm a big believer in the notion of smart power, which is the notion that not every problem can be solved with a bomb and a tank, that we have other tools in our foreign policy toolbox, things like diplomacy and economic tools, including foreign assistance, that can create greater stability. And we can have that belief, and we can say we want to drive toward more peace, and we can also have gratitude for people who were sent into difficult situations when our nation has been at war. And I think our nation has demonstrated the capacity to do that, and that's evidenced by not just the service members and the veterans who are here today, but by the community members who are here today simply to express their gratitude.
Joseph C. Charles Schwan, United States Marine Corps. Joseph Iacono, United States Army.
We spoke with several of the Vietnam-era veterans who were in Port Ludlow that afternoon. This is Tom Collins from SQUIM.
Why did you think it was important to be here for this event today?
We were in the paper this morning, and my wife thought it was real important. And I called Derek Kilmer's office and got the particulars on what was required. And
give us a little sense of what it was like to be in Vietnam during that time.
Well, I was in the Air Force, and considering the amount of information that I've received, you know, from the guy, the grunts on the ground, and my brother was in the Marines, and so I had it pretty easy flying airplanes.
Yeah, but some of those planes didn't land, did they?
No, some of them didn't.
Did you lose friends over there?
Yes.
A lot?
How many is a lot? One's too many. But, you know, I went over to Home Depot today, and when I got, they give you a discount because you're a veteran, you have an ID card, and the gal said, I want to thank you for your service. You didn't hear that 50 years ago.
This is Kenneth A. Burke, United States Army. David L. Fong, United States Army.
Kathleen Clare, Jefferson County Commissioner for District 3, was the one announcing every veteran's name and branch of service at the event.
Ramon Loreto Gama, United States Army. This is Jerry A. Hamilton, United States Navy.
Afterward, Commissioner Kathleen Clare revealed some interesting perspectives based on her own personal background.
What were your thoughts about this, especially based on your background and your age at the time of the Vietnam War and what your feelings were back then?
I was part of the protest community. I went to school near where the kids were shot, near Kent State, and so the energies that flowed all around were pretty virulent in terms of what our government was doing. Because I had cousins serving and my father was a veteran, I was considered a problem in the family because I was questioning the government. To them felt like I was questioning their service. And what I've come to realize over all of these years is that I don't apologize still for protesting what our government was not telling us, but what I'm accepting is the responsibility of my actions contributing to some of the wounds of the veterans who came home. And I carry that, and being here today and being able to say thank you for your service. Thank you to their families. Honoring a kind of duty that many of us don't have to explore and therefore take for granted and sometimes too lightly. The wound of Vietnam is not yet healed in America. And this is my little piece of saying it's time for all of us to look at what we were saying and doing and talk to each other, ask forgiveness, and also say thank you.
And I think you said your father was in the service during World War II?
Yes, and the Korean War. He was 18 years old and was part of the Battle of the Bulge and was acknowledged by the French government and got the... Colonel Fabian told me about the program and that my father was probably eligible, so I did all of the paperwork and got my father the French Legion of Honor Award, and Derek flew a flag over the Capitol building in my father's honor and sent it to him. And there was a bit of peacemaking there, too, for me and my dad.
Mr. Donald Eugene Williams, United States Navy. Mr. Curtis P. Thompson, Washington National Guard.
The vets who got pinned by Congressman Kilmer that day had very different backstories. This is Kurt Meyer from Port Ludlow.
Why did you think it was important to be here at this event today?
Well, one of the neighbors said that there was going to be a get-together of Vietnam vets, and I thought I'd just tag along since he had a prod and prodded me along.
And you are a Vietnam vet, yes?
Yes, I am.
What branch?
Navy.
Navy. And what did you do during the war years?
I sat on a jumbo oiler and a radar screen, just bobbing out in the water, up and down. And that was the extent of it.
So you didn't see any bad action?
No action for me.
When you came back from the war, if people knew you served in Vietnam, did you get any reactions, positive or negative?
Not really. That was kind of calm for me. I just went to school and kept on going with life.
Some people, I just talked to one gentleman over there, said the experience scarred him for life. Of course, he was surrounded by death and Agent Orange. How did you feel about your experience there?
Well, you know, I drove the DAV van for about 2 years, taking veterans to the hospital. And I met a lot of veterans that had been exposed to Agent Orange and were now experiencing a lot of cases of cancer. And the problem was that they're still not being acknowledged for having those cancers that meet with the relationship to Agent Orange. And I kind of find that's kind of a bad situation for America to be sitting in.
Now you were nodding. Did you serve also?
I was in the Air Force at that time. I was in Japan.
You were in Japan. Okay. We don't want to talk to you.
Well, why not?
Actually, I would like to.
Well, actually, I can't really talk about the job I had.
You could tell me, but you'd have to kill me, right?
Yeah. No, I wouldn't have to kill you. But
what's your name?
David Mathis.
And where do you live?
I live in Bridgehaven, which it's part of Port Ludlow area.
And what branch of the service were you in?
U.S. Air Force Security Service.
Okay. So you were doing some top secret stuff at the time?
Yes.
Okay. And did you see any action?
No. No, we just heard what was going on. And
Where were you stationed?
Actually, at the northern end of Honshu, Misawa Air Force Base.
And did you lose any friends during that war?
No.
Or acquaintances?
No. I knew of several people, but yeah, I got out before things were getting hot and heavy.
This is Kurt Meyer, United States Navy. David A. Mathis, United States Air Force.
And this is Jerry Hamilton, a Vietnam vet now living in Chimicum.
Why did you think this was important to come to this event today?
I saw it in a newspaper. I thought, what the heck? I might as well come and just see what's going on.
And you are a veteran and you served during Vietnam years?
Yeah, I spent 31 years in the Navy, so yes, to answer your question, yes.
31 years, and what was your duty? What were the things you were doing and where were you going?
Southwest Pacific, South Pacific, the Mediterranean, on both coasts. So I spent on 5 ships and had a good time, had a bad time.
Good time and bad time. Tell us about the bad times.
Bad time is standing mid-watch.
Okay. Did you see much action?
No, came close, very close. We were over in the Mediterranean. I was on the 6th Fleet flagship in the Mediterranean in 67, the USS Little Rock. And that's when the Israeli-Egypt war broke out, and Israelis torpedoed one of our ships and strafed it. The Liberty was an intelligence-gathering ship, and we went alongside. I forgot how many people were killed on there, but we went alongside and sent over a damage control party to help with the damage. And that was about it. They were able to limp into Malta with a huge hole in their side. They barely made it in.
Now, what's happening today is commemorative medals for Vietnam-era vets. What are your thoughts about the men and perhaps some women who served during that time, knowing that there were anti-war protests and some of them were not treated really good when they came back to this country?
Well, I don't know how to say that in just a few words, but yes, they were not treated very well. And then, you know, I was part of it, even though I wasn't over there. I was in, like I say, I was on the East Coast most of the time, and it was a surprise to me. I missed out on a lot of things. Vietnam was just one of them. I was on a ship that almost went there in 73, but that's when Henry Kissinger and his negotiations in Paris, I believe, ended the our involvement with it, so my ship didn't go over there. Mm-hmm. Instead, I went over to Egypt and helped clean up the mess in the Suez Canal.
Yeah. I'm going to ask some of these guys how they felt about after serving in Vietnam if they were treated badly. What do you think that would feel like? You got some of it yourself, though, because I don't know if they called you baby killers or any of those nasty things. But
I think you'd feel betrayed. You were doing your duty. You're doing what you were supposed to be doing, and it's way above my pay grade. You know, it was a political thing, and later on, as I learned, I was not in favor of what happened. There's 58,000 reasons why you shouldn't have been there, and I've seen that wall in D.C.,
Yeah, that's an emotional thing, isn't
very,
it?
Very, very emotional, yes. Yeah. I wish Robert McNamara, I hope he went back there and saw it. But
did you lose any friends over there?
There was one who used to be a shipmate of mine who was killed over there, yeah. But I didn't. Other than that, I didn't know anybody. I knew a lot of people who served, a lot of people who served over there, yeah. Mm-hmm. I was in explosive ordnance disposal, bomb disposal, and had a lot of friends in that unit that were over there, but I was, like I say, I was on the other part of the world.
With the midterm election now in our rearview mirror, we asked Congressman Derek Kilmer about the current state of politics in this state and where he works in Washington, D.C.
We've seen a lot of interest in this year. We've seen active turnout. And regardless of where folks' perspectives are politically, I think it's important that, you know, we have a democratic republic that depends on us to show up and to speak up and to participate. You know, I think one of the things that I have a tremendous hope about is you've seen really across the political spectrum, from the farthest left to the farthest right, a dialogue happening about how do we have a more functional Congress. You've seen our area in particular feels the pain of congressional dysfunction. You know, when there's a government shutdown, the largest employer in our region is the federal government. So when the national parks shut down for 17 days, that has tremendous economic ramifications to us in this region. When people get furloughed who work for the government, who work for the VA, that has tremendous impact on our region. And so I think, thankfully, you're seeing a lot of members of Congress ask an important question, which is not the who question, who's going to be in charge, who's going to hold the gavel. It's the how. Regardless of who's in charge, how are we going to have a more functional government that actually helps us address some of the real challenges facing our country and the American people? I'm very interested in that. I am a proud Democrat. I have strong viewpoints on where our country should go. And my hope is we will make progress on making more access to affordable health care and in particular, affordable prescription drugs. My hope is that Democrats focus on having an economy that works better for everybody. And my hope is that you have a Congress that engages on real reform to our campaign finance system and to what I think is a very broken political system. I don't think any of those issues ought to be partisan issues. You know, the vast majority of citizens that I talk to care very deeply about that, and just want Congress to solve those problems. And so I have a lot of hope that, you know, one, regardless of who's in charge, we can start to make some progress on behalf of the American people. And my sincere hope that we actually get some stuff done on those very important priorities. The people need an economy that works better. Folks need more affordable health care. Folks need a government that works better, and I think it's part of my job to make sure we get there.
One last question.
Sure.
What do you see as the most important issues for voters in your district?
The economy is the biggie. You know, I don't represent Seattle. You know, Seattle has seen tremendous growth to the point that they have growth challenges. The traffic congestion and housing, lack of housing affordability. In contrast, a lot of the district I represent has a jobs problem where people are struggling to find their place in this economy. I feel very strongly that we don't want our region's main export to be young people. And that means we have to create more economic opportunity for more people in more places. There's no silver bullet to that. I think it's more like silver buckshot. There's a bunch of stuff we've got to do. Workforce development's very important. Investment in infrastructure is very important. Things like access to high-speed internet is increasingly important in the 21st century. And that's something that that the district I represent needs, is that focus on the economy. That's my focus, too. That was my background. I grew up in Port Angeles and ended up working professionally in economic development because the economy took a turn for the worse when I was in high school. And so I continue to be very focused on just trying to grow more economic opportunities for the folks I represent.
We finish by returning to former U.S. Marine Clayton Swanson, who spoke about his memories of the smells in Vietnam, the pungent odors of Agent Orange, and death.
Oh, United States Marine Corps, it says on his back, combat veteran, and Vietnam as well underneath it. And how do people respond to that? Do you get thanks for your service, or do you
Semper
get...
Fi. Semper Fi. Semper Fi. Semper Fi.
When you did come back in the 60s or 70s, whenever you came back, did you get any abuse because of the situation?
And there was a lot of both. I grew up in Port Townsend, which was a small town. A lot of people were very courteous, real nice. And yet, on the other hand, we were invited to ride in the Rhododendron Parade, and we had people bringing us drinks and bringing us beer and throwing wine on us and spitting on us.
So a little of everything.
We had it all. Yeah, it was devastating. I couldn't believe it.
Is your experience in the military during the Vietnam years something that affected you for the rest of your life? And if so, how?
Well, I've been married 3 times. The first two didn't work because probably a lot of the reasons. I never spoke with any of my wives about my situation, and of course I didn't realize it until after I retired how horrible my PTSD was, and my diabetes and hearing and all the other significant illnesses that I have over the time served there. And it's been a hard 50 years, and yet I have a medical team. They take care of me. They're teaching me how to cope with a lot of this stuff, and the medication's part of it. And it's working. My wife has been a great supporter for the last 30 years. And however, she doesn't know a whole lot that's gone over there. I don't speak about it. So yeah, it's tough. It's tough.
Why did you think it was important to come here today?
Well, it's the first I've heard of recognition for thanking Vietnam vets. And we haven't been always treated the best.
With Congressman Derek Kilmer and 24 Vietnam veterans in Port Ludlow, this is David Cunningham for KPTZ News. The Compass airs Monday at noon and 5 p.m. with a repeat Saturday at noon, exclusively here on KPTZ 91.9 FM in Port Townsend.